It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Oh, that was just a little bit of what happened in Portland just in the last few days. And, of course, the riots there continued. 53 state days in the city of Portland. These wild banshees, demonic screamers have been destroying the city of Portland. I read this morning that the eastern part of Oregon is thinking about seceding. They want to become a part of Idaho. Can you blame them? I can't blame them. And so the city has millions of dollars of destruction. They're trying to destroy federal property there as well as personal property. And as you see the rioters, you know, they are increasingly, they're really feeling their oats, shall we say. And you can see it in these videos. There are lots of videos. As a matter of fact, Daily Caller has a great piece, which we will post on our Facebook page that gives a number of shots, screenshots, and videos of what they are actually doing there. It's riots across Portland lead to fire being set inside police union building. Officers squaring off with the crowd at the courthouse. Meanwhile, the mayor of Portland, you know, he's just fine with all of this. Remember when the ICE building, the enforcement agents for immigration authorities, that the building that was located there in Portland, remember how they attacked those employees, surrounded that building? This is probably 6 months ago. And Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, they did sort of a siege of the building, and it put the employees in tremendous danger. And they did a lot of things like what they're doing now, intimidating people personally and attacking their cars as they were trying to leave, attacking their families. And Ted Wheeler was just fine with that, too. And so the president, the Department of Homeland Security, has sent in security forces or troops or whatever, agents, and they did a lot of arresting over the last few days. In fact, the activists tried to set up a sort of a situation like CHOP. They had a name for it. And so they erected these, you know, makeshift buildings. They stole things and tried to set up a little city that was autonomous. And these federal agents came in and handled it. They handled it very well. They used tear gas and other things. And so now the screamers are screaming. You heard them scream on that first clip. This is just, you know, no, you can't make us, like, mind. Don't they sound like children that you didn't raise well, that never got punished, that screamed at two when they didn't get their way or laid on the floor? That's really what it reminds me of very much. Okay, so Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, weighed in. He was outraged that these federal officials would come in and, like, bring order to his city. How dare they? Let's listen in clip 7.
The president has a complete misunderstanding of cause and effect. What's happening here is we have dozens, if not hundreds, of federal troops descending upon our city. And what they're doing is they are sharply escalating the situation. Their presence here is actually leading to more violence and more vandalism. We haven't asked them here. In fact, we want them to leave. We're all telling the Trump administration, stop the rhetoric, take these people out of our city. They are not helping us, they are hurting us. And what we're seeing is a blatant abuse of police tactics by the federal government, by a Trump administration that's falling in the polls. And this is a direct threat to our democracy.
Really? Really? Really, Mayor Wheeler? Bringing order to your city, which you are unwilling to do, you leftist Antifa sympathizer, whatever, fill in the blank, sir, are causing the good people of Portland to suffer. You know, there are some really good people there. I have a very good friend that was a talk show host there years ago with Salem, when I was a talk show host for Salem. Just a wonderful person. I think of her, you know, these are people with normal lives. They, you know, thought they could go downtown and shop, you know, but no, not to be, because the Antifa spoiled children, demonic crowd must have their way, and the mayor wants them to have their way. So step aside. Meanwhile, in Seattle, rioters escalated. They're rioting last night. Same thing. You know, they started a lot of this. Well, they set the standard, didn't they, with their chop zone? And so 12 policemen were injured last night. They were looting stores. They actually attacked the Amazon Go store downtown. I think I heard they attacked the Apple store, although I'm not sure. But they were, you know, breaking windows and just doing all kinds of damage. You can watch it. You have the privilege of watching it. There'll be clips today, and you can see more spoiled children of some of us doing that. Where are your children? I wonder, you know, where are your children? And I recognize that many of us, you can't, some of our children, they make horrible choices. But it is time to reflect on how we raised our kids, I think. I think it's time to reflect on that, because it's going to destroy our country. Anyway, so that's happening in Seattle. And meanwhile, I find it very ironic that the whole race equation has been turned on its head. And I'll show you what I mean by this. The Portland police, the head of their police union, who's black, actually, before I play that, I'm sorry, there are two of them. So this is the Portland police union president, and he's commenting about what's happening in Portland. This is clip six. Let's listen.
This is no longer about George Floyd. This is no longer about racial equity or social justice. This is no longer about reform or the evolution of policing. This is about violence, rioting, destruction. Our city is under siege by rioters. Our elected officials have condoned the destruction and chaos of our city. They have placed their political agendas ahead of the safety of all of us and the welfare of the community. This must stop.
Yeah, you know, there's another video of a black man standing between, I believe it's the police union building. I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not sure, because I saw so many videos. But he's standing there with an American flag. And he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, if you are concerned about justice, come and sit here with me. But this is not justice. Burning down this building is not justice. This is destructive. We don't have that audio, but we do have this audio. This is another black Portland police officer just kind of venting on what's happening out there in the streets. Let's listen to clip two.
It says something when you're at a Black Lives Matter protest, you have more minorities on the police side than you have in a violent crowd, and you have white people screaming at black officers. You have the biggest nose I've ever seen.
What was it like in that capacity in the first few weeks when the fence was up around the Justice Center?
I got to see folks that really do want change, like the rest of us that have been impacted by racism, and then I got to see those people get faded out by people that have no idea what racism is all about.
Okay, never. I'm gonna leave it at that. He talks for a long time. He's very eloquent, but you get the point. And then across the country in New York, that Black Lives Matter street that was our street painting that was done in front of Trump Tower proudly by Bill de Blasio, the mayor. He was out there pushing the brush, you know. He was really proud of himself. While his city murder rate has gone up, what, 100%, something like that? And he's out there pushing the broom, pushing the brush to paint the street. So here's the irony. Two black women went out into that street and took paint and started painting over that sign. And I want you to hear what they had to say. This is clip 11.
They do it for black people, right? matter. Black lives matter. But you want to defund the police for black people. You're lying. No, we're not standing for Black Lives Matter. We want our police. Refund our police. Refund our police. Y'all don't care about black lives. Get the pay. Y'all don't care about black lives. Refund the police. Refund the police. They say Black Lives Matter. They say Black Lives Matter, right? They say Black Lives Matter. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. Refund the police. Refund the police.
All right, I'm going to interrupt that one too because she just keeps going and she keeps painting. And what she's saying is refund the police. Y'all don't care about black lives. You don't care. We want the police. Give us our police. Refund the police. And man, she's not having it. And it's a lot of interest. It must have been an interesting dynamic because there was a mixed. Police are mixed race always in most cities everywhere where there are mixed races. So there were black officers trying to arrest her, and she just wasn't having it. And then she's saying, refund the police, refund the police. You don't care about black lives. You people out here, you don't care about black lives. So you see a theme going on here? I do. I see a theme going on. I see the fact that our black brothers and American brothers and sisters are understanding that this is not about race, which is what I've said from day one, that it has nothing to do with being black or white. This has to do with lawlessness, anarchy, wanting to destroy the country, destroy families. Black Lives Matter has very clearly stated it in their manifesto. They want to destroy the natural family. They want to defund the police and empty the prisons. They want chaos because they want control. They want to destroy capitalism. They want to destroy businesses. They want to take property. This is what it's all about. And they want to take the property. They hate black people who love this country or love capitalism and have their own businesses, have families in the suburbs. They hate them just as much as they hate any white person or any black. They hate black policemen, too. So it has nothing to do with race. I think finally the message is being received. And that reminds me of Bill de Blasio. Mr. Paint the Black Lives Matter mural in front of the Trump Tower while his city is burning figuratively, and maybe it will literally too before this is over with. This is what he had to say. This is the brilliant remark he made about his city being safer. Clip 4.
We now have fewer people in our jails than any time since World War II, and we are safer for it and better for it.
Oh, are you kidding me? They've been emptying the jails left and right, and so many of these criminals are killing, especially in the black community. Why do you think that woman was yelling on the street like desperate? Refund the police, refund the police. Y'all don't care about black lives. We want the police. I mean, this is just horrific. Honestly, this is a hard morning for me. It's hard. It's hard for me because I feel like I can't. I feel a little bit like if you were standing by a busy street and you and I were talking and we were chatting and I saw that you were getting ready to cross the street and I saw this huge semi-truck, like huge, driving, barreling down the street, not stopping, and you were going to cross that street. And I'm saying to you, no, you don't want to cross right now. You might want to wait. This is not a smart thing to do. There's a big truck coming. And you turn and sort of smile at me and ignore me and sort of like, what do I know, as you turn around and step into that street? That's kind of the way I feel. I'm trying to warn people that we are in incredible danger here for the nation. And I can't wake up. My church seems to be asleep. I'm just saying. Some people are not. I'd say 25% are not. Others are just like happy to, wear their masks and disappear and disengage. And I'm going to play, if I have a chance, there's a couple in Kentucky who are wearing ankle monitors because the wife had tested positive for COVID, but she doesn't have any symptoms. And they want her to sign a paper that says that she will call them anytime she leaves her house. And now they've placed ankle bracelets on them so that they can't leave their house. This is where it's headed. And this is what I'm trying to warn you about. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The Ministry of Preborn is dedicated to helping save preborn babies from abortion through ultrasound. And even in this time of national crisis, Preborn is there. Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
No college classes and sheltering in have led to an explosion of unplanned pregnancies. Women are panicked about their pregnancies and wanting to abort. Our crisis line is the busiest it's ever been. Here's Catherine, one of our crisis line operators.
Girls are often desperate being pregnant in this pandemic. With your help, we are able to be here for them.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. Would you join Preborn in the cause for life? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say the keyword baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Ajit Pai, chairman of the FCC. He oversees the office that regulates interstate communications in this country. Psalm 119:130 reminds us of the importance of communicating and sharing. The unfolding of your words gives life. It gives understanding to the simple. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Ajit Pai as he oversees our country's communication systems. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 49595. That's LU Tag to 49595.
U.S. Navy sailors will once again be able to attend church. The acting Undersecretary of the Navy issued a memorandum allowing sailors to attend services in person. Last week, First Liberty Institute and a group of chaplains raised concerns about restrictions that had been placed on military personnel because of the China virus. Services had been banned, but house parties and protests were allowed. Mike Barry, an attorney with First Liberty Institute, said the military's decision to back away from the ban is a major victory for the Constitution and religious liberty. During the Obama administration, the Pentagon became a hotspot for religious discrimination. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation once bragged it had a hotline to the Pentagon. Fortunately, the Trump administration is restoring the military to its faith-friendly environment, and one of the first things they did was disconnect that hotline. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Death up in New York, deaths up in Chicago, shootings. How do you explain it and what are you going to do about it?
I explain it very simply by saying they're Democrat-run cities. They're liberally run. They're stupidly run.
Liberal Democrats have been running cities in this country for decades.
Poorly.
Why is it so bad right now?
They've run them poorly. It was always bad, but now it's gotten totally out of control. And it's really because they want to defund the police. And Biden wants to defund the police.
Sir, he does not.
Look, he signed a charter with Bernie Sanders.
It says nothing about defunding the police.
Oh, really? It says abolish. It says defund. Let's go.
All right.
Get me the charter, please.
All right.
That was an interesting interview yesterday with President Trump and Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday. By the way, I think many people thought it was going to be a disaster for the president when that exchange took place, because when they looked up the document that Joe Biden signed with Bernie Sanders, it didn't use the words defund police. So Chris was quite triumphant about that. And I think people thought that the president had embarrassed himself. But I have to tell you, that's what Chris did was disingenuous. President, Vice President Biden has not said, I'm in favor of defunding the police. No, he hasn't said that. He says he supports redirecting some police funds. Now, what do you think that means? He's talking about redirecting them to, like, social workers and other people. That makes me think of a story I just heard this morning about a woman in Chicago who saw some kids lighting up firecrackers where children were playing. And rather than call the police, she decided she would be the good citizen, and because that's what's been the advice. We should just talk to our neighbors instead of, you know, calling the police. So she walked over to talk to these people that were lighting firecrackers near children. And as she's trying to explain to them the dangers, they shot her 7 times, and she died. So that's not working very well, but that's what Joe Biden is supporting. It's like redirecting some police money to other funds. We also know a lot of things that he's supporting. I don't want to take our time with George Rasley, who's our next guest, to spell those things out. But we know that his staffers are all about defunding police. In fact, one of them, Sarah Pearl, who is the supervising producer for the Biden campaign, tweeted that pigs are highly intelligent. She's talking, of course, about the police. She's called them monsters who don't deserve to be called pigs. And she personally has promoted the idea of police departments being defunded. And I think that there are more staff behind Biden doing the same and also exchanging a lot of cash or interceding and raising money for Black Lives Matter. So that's just a disingenuous exchange. It was interesting to me that Chris used that interview. He's interviewing the president of the United States, and yet he edits the interview. And when they have a disagreement or when the president criticizes him, he drops in select footage to show that, of course, he's right. Now, he does that retroactively after the fact, but he doesn't give the president the opportunity to do that. But nevertheless, I have to tell you, I thought the president did an excellent job in that interview, and we're going to post the whole thing on our Facebook page. I hope that you'll take the time to watch it, because heaven knows you won't hear it anywhere else. Okay, you've asked me, many of you have asked me, because I talk about all of the bad news every morning, and heaven knows so much of it is bad. It is discouraging at times. It's not all bad, and there are good things to talk to you about this morning. I hope to get to them in a few minutes. But you've been asking me, what can we do? All right, we understand. Many of you do understand, and you want to do something. And that made me think of my friend George Rasley. George is the editor of Conservative HQ. He has been on the political scene for so many years. George is brilliant, and he's one of the lead writers at Conservative HQ. I use his stuff all the time. You may not remember that or know that, but I do. And they have sort of started a campaign, a way of focusing Americans on how to proceed, given that the election really is the centerpiece of what we can do right now. And I've asked George to join us this morning. George, thank you for joining us, and thanks for being patient with my setup here.
Good morning, Sandy, and God bless you and your ministry.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, George. Same right back to you. Hey, let's just talk for a second. From your and by the way, I want to say this differently, because it is really true, George. I really do trust your judgment. I look at your stuff all the time. You know that. Because I think you have really incredible political acumen. So I want to ask you about the state of the – no, first of all, let me ask you about the importance of this election in a nutshell. We're going to talk more about it, but why is it so important? Everybody says every election is important. Why is this one so important?
Well, to me, this election is the ball game. If we don't re-elect President Trump and elect conservative majorities in the House and the Senate, the Democrats are going to change the rules, and there'll never be another conservative president or another conservative majority in Congress. They're going to open the floodgates at the borders. They're going to give amnesty to at least 20 million illegal aliens. They're going to do away with voter ID. They're going to allow ballot harvesting and all the dirty election tricks that they've been using to turn California into a Democrat stronghold. And we'll be a one-party country after this election if we don't re-elect President Trump and elect a conservative majority in Congress.
Well, and further, I think, that sounds like Venezuela. That sounds like Russia. That sounds like China, where they pretend to have votes, but they don't mean anything. And that's where we will be. And, of course, the consequences of all that are dreadful. And we'll talk about the policy consequences in a second. But, George, I think, you know, personally, when people ask me what they can do, I really do think it boils down right now to all hands on deck on this election, don't you?
Absolutely, it does. And we're producing some, you know, simple ideas on what individuals can do, what you can do to rally your family, your friends, your fellow church members to have a real effect in this election.
Yes, and there's some great stuff. And I, you know what, I'll just give the headlines, but we will come back and talk about it in more detail. There's this great piece that George and his chairman, Richard Viguerie, who's the founder of Conservative HQ, have written. It's called It's the Ball Game, America. And it really lays it out. It lays it out so clearly and succinctly so that you can understand really what's at stake here. Because I think sometimes it's so complex, it's hard to articulate that, but that's what you guys have done. We'll put that on our Facebook page. And what George is going to be talking to you about is signing up for a fedupppack.org, fedupppack.org, to receive lots of information that you can share with your friends to educate them. And we'll get back to that in a second. But, George, I want to ask you about some details about this upcoming race. And first of all, you know, you saw Chris probably grilling President Trump yesterday and kind of preening about a new Fox poll that said Joe Biden is ahead by, I think, 7 points. And the president saying that he didn't believe that poll. I wonder what your thoughts are about where we are with the presidential race right now.
Well, I don't believe that poll either. And I think there's something interesting going on in our politics that's been building for a long time, and that is that people, conservatives, cultural conservatives in particular, like you and I are, don't answer polls. Some stranger calls up and asks you a bunch of questions about your beliefs. Many people are reluctant to answer because of, you know, what we call cancel culture and the notion that speaking up in favor of President Trump or in speaking up in favor of your values publicly could end up getting you fired or end up with, you know, 100 protesters outside your house. And many people are reluctant to risk that, so they don't answer these polls. Pardon me. But what we have when we poll are what are called qualifying questions. And then, you know, we ask people not about President Trump or, you know, how they're going to vote, but rather how they feel about issues. And when we do those polls, we find that on the issues, people are strongly in favor of President Trump and his policies. And so that's what we use to determine whether or not you know, a voter is leaning towards voting for President Trump, and we don't see Biden ahead by 7 points at all. It's quite the reverse.
The flip side of this is I think you're right about that, George. Before you joined me this morning, I played three different clips of Black Americans who in various ways are expressing their disgust with the Black Lives Matter movement and the people on the streets and articulating that this is not about George Floyd or about race. They don't care about Black Americans. This is about, some, you know, it's just amazing. Three this morning. And so I think that, you know, I do think that the inclination is to say, we're not down with what we're seeing in the streets about what happened last night in Seattle and what's been happening in Portland. It's appalling to people. But the other side of that is that I feel like people are thinking, I'm going to wait and I'm going to vote in that election, and that's going to settle all of this. Is that going to be true, George? If they just go and vote for President Trump and Republicans, is that going to solve this? And can they count on that election?
Well, the one thing that we can count on is prayer. But the most important thing that we conservatives who are out working right now in the public sphere can do is to get people out to the polls to vote. I mean, we cannot assume that the good guys are gonna win because we're right, that we believe that we're following God's path. We have to make sure that our neighbors who agree with us show up. We've got to get every, as Abraham Lincoln said, identify every Republican and get them to the polls.
And, of course, we have the whole danger of just the whole voter process being polluted, corrupted. And, George, you actually just wrote an article about that. I want to just cite this. The GOP needs a voter fraud task force in every state. Just say a word about that, if you will. We talk about that a lot here, but what are your thoughts about that whole situation?
Well, the Democrats are the one party that consistently defends and relies upon vote fraud to win elections. They're not interested in counting every legally cast vote by legal voters. They're interested in gaining power. And so they will do literally anything to win, to make it look like they won an election, I'll put it that way. And, in Ohio, I cited the example of a woman who was a Democrat representative on local election board who voted multiple times for President Obama. In Indiana, there was massive fraud in the Democrat primary that elected, or rather that nominated Obama. And this is, consistent throughout Democrat politics. And the only way to fight that is to have a strong voter ID and vote fraud legal team in every state. I'd like to see one in every county. And the Republican Party used to do that, but for various reasons, including just being sissies, they rarely do it anymore. And so it's going to be up to outside organizations like True the Vote and
Judicial Watch is doing a lot of stuff right now.
Judicial Watch, Public Interest.
Christian Adams, our good friend Christian
Adams.
Yep.
And so it's going to be up to those guys. And they're massively undermanned versus the Democrats.
No question about it. Two things I read this morning, George, that have encouraged me at least a little bit. In regard to mail-in balloting and harvesting, which means, collecting people's ballots and collecting ballots that you can then co-opt and vote for people the way you want to see the election turn out. Illegal voting, really. In Florida, the Republicans just won a court case to keep Florida ballot harvesting their ban in place. So that's a good thing. And then I also read that there's a poll that 50% of Americans believe that mail-in voting is vulnerable to significant levels of fraud. So two encouraging signs, at least about where the temperature is on the election fraud. But I think the caution is that people cannot expect this to go smoothly. And they're going to have to be diligent about their voting and diligent about who they're going to be voting for. And that's what, George, can you stay with me? I'm trusting that you can.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. So when we come back, let's talk about some of the things you talk about in this It's the Ball Game America and some of the practical steps that you guys are suggesting to people when they go to fedupac.org and sign up to be part of receive the information that you're sending out. So my guest is George Rasley, the editor of Conservative HQ. By the way, we'll put It's the Ball Game America on our Facebook page so that you can read it. We're going to discuss it coming up. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Oh, How much does a 6-month subscription to the AFA Journal cost? It's free! For 6 months, you can read articles and updates in the pro-life movement. You can read about family-friendly entertainment, laws that may impact your family or your business, and of course, what the American Family Association is up to and how you can help. So what are you waiting for? Visit afajournal.org for your free 6-month subscription to the AFA Journal.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today, because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program. God's blessings to you all.
For there are certain men crept in unawares, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. During an episode of Jada Pinkett Smith's Red Table Talk program, the 48-year-old actress revealed on television that she'd had an adulterous affair with her son's 27-year-old friend, who called her mom. Pinkett Smith tried to downplay the adultery by referring to it as an entanglement. Pinkett Smith then went on to say that she didn't see her adultery as a transgression. Whether she sees it that way or not, the Lord certainly does. His word says adultery is sin. Sin is transgression. And transgression without repentance leads one to hell.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Supporters of President Trump are nervous because polls have him trailing at this point. But pollsters have learned that if they oversample Democrats, which they've been doing, they can get the results they want. And Trump's troubles are nothing compared to what Abraham Lincoln was up against in 1864. America was paralyzed by the violence of the Civil War that he had started. One of his own generals was running against him. The opinion elites opposed him, and members of his own party openly despised him. His own administration was divided, and there was no personal loyalty to the president. He was faced with a mounting national debt and outbreaks of disease. Lincoln was blamed for everything, but the tide of war turned in late summer and Lincoln won handily. My friends, it's far too soon to fret.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, Attorney General William Barr forcefully denounced the Chinese Communist Party's global ambition to, quote, make the world safe for dictatorship, unquote. He called on American corporations to stop enabling the CCP's realization of that ominous goal. While Mr. Barr identified commercial, human rights, and national security imperatives for ending such engagement, he introduced a potentially decisive consideration. The AG described the party's illegal activities, including some that are killing not just our jobs, economy, and middle class, but thousands of our citizens. In fact, the CCP is a transnational criminal organization, or TCO. Its members, present and past, should be barred entry into the United States, a prohibition under consideration by the Trump administration. If the party is designated as a TCO, however, U.S. businesses aiding and abetting such a criminal enterprise risk being treated as accomplices. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
On Saturday, Elizabeth Lynn Scott of Hardin County got tested for COVID-19 because she was planning to go visit her parents in Michigan.
My grandparents wanted to see me too, so just to make sure that, you know, if I tested negative, that they would be okay, that everything would be fine.
After testing positive, but without showing any symptoms, Elizabeth says the health department contacted her, requesting she sign documents.
Pretty much it was that I agreed to comply, to call the health department if I was to call the health department prior to leaving my house for any reason.
Elizabeth chose not to sign.
I had gotten a message from them, a text message that stated, because of your refusal to sign, this is going to be escalated and law enforcement will be involved.
On Thursday, the Hardin County Sheriff's Department greeted Elizabeth's husband, Isaiah, at their front door.
I open up the door, there's like eight different people, five different cars. I'm like, what the heck's going on? This guy's in a suit with a mask. It's the health department guy, and they have three papers for us, for me, her, and my daughter.
The couple was ordered to wear ankle monitors. If they travel more than 200 feet, law enforcement will be notified.
We didn't rob a bank. We didn't rob a store. We didn't steal something. We didn't, you know, hit and run. We didn't do anything wrong.
The couple says they never denied self-quarantining. They just didn't agree with the wording of the documents.
And that's exactly what the director of the public health department had told the judge, that I was refusing to self-quarantine because of this. And I'm like, that's not the case at all. I never said that.
It was WAVE in Kentucky, and I mentioned that story, but I wanted you to hear Elizabeth talk about it and her husband. Now, here's the thing. We've been talking about masks for weeks, for months, actually, and you know how I feel about them, but the point is not the mask. If I have to wear a mask, I wear a mask. I told you a story about sitting next to a young man who was so frightened on the plane. He was had like a hazmat suit on and gloves, and he's like in his 20s sitting next to me. He was scared to death. And he asked me to put my mask on, and I told him if he was that worried, I would. I absolutely would. And then I had a wonderful conversation with him. So I'm not saying don't ever wear a mask. I think it's, for all the reasons I've told you before, I think it is a tool of suppression, and it's also a test of our will. And this is what it's going to lead to. If you think that if 100% of us wear masks, this is going to stop, it isn't. Because it's an avenue by which to control you. And the thing that bothers me, if that we won't push back on irrational mask requirements, if we won't even push back on that, do you think they don't smell like blood in the water? Do you think that when it comes to voting in November, and you think there should be an open election, and they think, no, they tell you it's not safe, you need to stay home and do mail-in balloting. Do you think anybody's going to fight back, George Rasley? Do you think anybody's going to fight back if they start putting, vote-by-mail provisions in every state, or mandating vote-by-mail?
Well, we have to, and some people in some organizations have been, and have found some success. It's not been consistent, which is a great concern because a major part of the Democrat plan to take power, notice I don't say win the election, I say take power, is to create complete chaos on election day, to throw the election into the courts and into recounts where it won't be every legally cast ballot by legally registered voters. The results will be decided outside of the normal process, and that's how they hope to win. That's how they would have won in 2000 had the Supreme Court not stepped in and found for then candidate, later President George W. Bush. And so we can expect to see what happened in Florida in 2000 to happen in multiple states.
Yes, we can. And when we think about chaos on the streets, George, I always remember that many of us had a discussion, and we knew, because they were pretty public about it, that this summer all hell was going to break loose in America and in our streets, and regardless of COVID, nothing like that. This was the plan, to create and have rioting so that they could disrupt and use that disruption to affect the elections in whatever way worked out for them. And so that's what we're facing right now. And I guess I just want to now turn to all of my listeners are wonderful people, and they actually do want to do something, George. They are courageous. So let's talk about what you think they can do specifically through FedUp PAC.
Well, first I would encourage everyone to sign up for our materials, and you'll get packages of information that you can use to talk to your friends, your family, your church members, your civic club organizations, to inform them of what's really going on. In fact, the first item that we're putting out are a set of pocket cards that you can print out at home and just keep with you that'll tell you what the Democrat plan is, in essence, and that you can share. And we want to give you the information that you need to be a leader in this election. And, you know, to be a leader, you don't have to be a vice chairman of the Trump campaign. You don't have to give thousands of dollars to the campaign or the GOP. You have to get your friends and family to the polls to vote for conservative candidates for Congress and for President Trump.
And so these are tools to help you do that. And also, I guess the pocket cards, I'm guessing, are make the information simple, like bullet points. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you go to our website and look up the article, "Where Are America's Leaders? Is It You?" You'll get a preview of what's in the pocket cards. And it talks about what the Democrat plans are. And then the results if they win. And it's everything from erasing our history, making American exceptionalism a thing of the past, to allowing unlimited abortions paid for by the government. Right to work laws will be prohibited. Religious liberty will be restricted. If you're lucky, you'll be able to worship at church.
And if you're lucky, you'll be able to keep a job. I mean,
exactly.
Our thoughts, our views on things will affect our employment. I also see this, George, because we're seeing this. We are seeing this. The hard left, which is running the Democratic Party right now, wants to eliminate capitalism. They want to redistribute wealth. And so you can expect that, let's say, in the retirement communities who feel safe right now, that your Social Security will probably be merit-based, whether you deserve it or not. You could probably expect a pretty huge reduction in what you're receiving, because if you're a conservative, you're on the wrong side of things. And you could also probably expect to see your retirement accounts accessed. You won't be able to stop it. I would also look in St. Louis, George, where the 300 to 500 protesters threatened the family, that the husband and wife who pulled out their guns in defense, and threatened to take their home and threatened to kill them, and even said, "This is where I'm going to sleep. We're going to come in. This is going to be our house." That's really kind of what the communists, that's what they did in Moscow, I remember. They came in and took property.
That's absolutely right. And you can expect similar things all over the country. Many of these are simply probing actions, if you will, or tests to see how public officials react. And, of course, in St. Louis, they have a Soros-backed district attorney who is already moving forward to prosecute, or rather persecute, the McCloskeys. They've had their guns confiscated. The good news is that many individuals, including, I might add, conservativehq.com, have offered to loan them firearms until they get theirs back. So hopefully they're protecting themselves, but they shouldn't have to.
But that is
the first job of government is to keep public order.
But is that not exhibit A of what's coming if we don't stand up and fight right now? And I don't know, George, you and I have not talked about this, but I sort of sloppily set up this segment about masks correlating to losing our freedoms. I'd love to hear your thoughts about how you see that.
Well, I think that, again, this falls into the category of a probing action. Totalitarians, large and small, the large ones being, you know, Democrats in Congress, the small ones being your mayors and county commissioners, are testing to see how far they can push us before we will stand up for our freedom. And, you know, school boards are creating some ridiculous things about what needs to be done to get children back in school this fall. I mean, you know, you talked about the guy in the hazmat suit on the airplane with you. Some school districts are suggesting similar measures for every child who attends school. You know, gloves, masks, goggles. And so at some point, sooner rather than later, I hope Americans will stand up and say no, enough, and assert their rights in these instances. But it's all about seeing how far they can push us.
Yes, and I think that probably of all the groups of people who have not responded, and I'm plenty disgusted with Republican leadership, and I'm plenty disgusted actually with politicians who are AWOL right now. So it really is left up to us to save the country, because Mitch McConnell is busy, what, trying to get reelected, and I'm singling him out, but he's one among many. They're too busy to sort of address these issues, and they don't want to. It's too, you know, they might lose. That would be horrible. So it would be horrible if they lost right now. I would say that. In fact, the Senate is in pretty big jeopardy, isn't it?
Well, it is, not because there isn't a conservative majority out there that would reelect a conservative Senate. It's because we don't have a conservative Senate, and a lot of people are asking themselves, why should I, you know, vote for this Republican clown when his positions on the issue, his votes on the floor, are no different from a Democrat? Well, this year is probably the only year that I can remember that Richard and I have both said, hold your nose and vote Republican no matter what, because the results of a Democrat majority in the Senate, even if Trump is reelected, would be a complete disaster for the country.
Yeah, I don't know if people really understand that part either, George. Where one thing, of course, that what is, you know, these are Washington terms, legislative filibuster. In other words, they would just have a simple majority to vote through any bill that they, and they would have 51 votes easily. If they take the Senate, that's what they'll have. They can vote every bad nightmare thing. They can impeach the president.
Yeah, luckily the Constitution sets a fairly high bar for impeachment, but that doesn't mean that he couldn't be wrapped up, tied up, shackled for the next 4 years by, you know, further impeachment proceedings, as he was the first part of this year and the end of last year.
Yeah, plus all of the horrible, you know, defunding the police, the Green New Deal, bankrupting, you know, our Treasury further. They're already working on that. George, I always appreciate your input. Thank you so much. We'll put It's the Ballgame America on our Facebook page. Also, your article about how states need to be monitoring the elections. And we're encouraging you to go to feduppack.org, and sign up for their just the information that they're going to give, which will equip you to know how to go into this election season in the right way. All right, so George Rasley, thank you, sir. Appreciate your time this morning. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.